Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio, live from Westminster.
I think there's a clear warning there.
Get up-to-the-minute news flashes, instant reaction and expert analysis from some of the biggest names in Westminster.
What's next?
Order!
Talk Radio, live from Westminster.
Good morning and welcome to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham right here on Talk Radio. We are live once again on College Green down in Westminster on day two of Boris Day, because Boris Day one yesterday was exciting enough. Today is going to be even more exciting, because by the end of this show, Boris Johnson is going to become the fifth Prime Minister of this country. Theresa May has her last Prime Minister's questions at midday. We'll be covering that live, of course. Ross Kempsel, our political editor, is here, as he has been over the last 24 hours, charting precisely what is going on, precisely what is going to happen next. We will bring you the news as each resignation kicks in. We will also bring you the news when each cabinet member is appointed later on this afternoon. But Ross has already got some of those names, and we'll be bringing those to you as well. Katie Perrier is also with me, former aide to Boris Johnson, former head of communications at Downing Street. She'll tell us what it's like to start the new working day in a new job with the new Prime Minister. This is, of course, Talk Radio. It's the only place you want to be. We are live in Westminster. This is the Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio, live from Westminster.
Welcome back to Talk Radio. Welcome back to College Green and Westminster, of course. This is where it's all happening. There's helicopters flying overhead. There's sirens going. There's ministerial limos all over the place. I've got all manner of great guests coming up over the next 3 hours. Right here on Talk Radio, you will hear everything as it happens. Prime Minister's questions, the last one ever for Theresa May. Will it be a dogfight between her and Jeremy Corbyn? We shall find out later. Katie Perry is here already. She, of course, former communications chief at Downing Street for Theresa May, and also worked with Boris Johnson at City Hall. Kate Hoey has joined us as well, Labour MP, who also was involved with Boris Johnson. And you worked with Boris Johnson from the opposite side of the fence, if you like, Kate. What was he like as an employer or as a boss for you?
Well, I wasn't being paid, just to get that clear at the beginning. But Boris is not tribal at all. He got a team around him at City Hall that was based on what he thought, and people like Ed Lister and so on, thought were going to be Simon Milton, were going to be good at doing what he wanted, and doing it in a way that was, collegiate as well. There was a great atmosphere. I mean, I was very much ring-fenced because I was a Labour MP. I said very clearly I was only going to work on sport and the sports participation, grassroots sport. So I wouldn't go to some of the most political meetings, but even at the big meetings that we would have regularly with all the different areas, it was very clear that Boris had a grasp of everything, but knew how to delegate and delegated well. And then I think people felt that they were trusted. And also he was very accessible too. You could go and see him and you could just simply say, Boris, I don't like this. I really think we should be doing it this way. Or, I find that very, very... I thought it was incredibly positive that someone was coming in as a Conservative mayor and was prepared to work with people who weren't members of the Conservative Party, and he did that with others, not just me.
Right. People say, Katie, that Boris makes everyone feel that they're the most important person in the world when he's talking to them, and that there could be as many as five people walking about today thinking they're going to be the next Chancellor of the Exchequer. But one of the things that I like about him is that he's bringing an awful lot of the same team that worked with you at City Hall into Downing Street, which tells you that they want to work with him and they're very happy to do so again.
Oh, absolutely. I think that there's a real loyalty to Boris Johnson, that it's expected for them to be loyal to him, and in return he will give his loyalty back to them over a long period of time. And he's seen in politics that people are fickle, they can say one thing and do another, and so he's kept himself with a tight team, people that he trusts and relies on. Boris isn't, although everybody loves Boris Johnson, and actually, even when you don't like him, when you spend time with him one-on-one, you can't help but like that. You come away and say, I hate his policies, I don't like his ideas, but one-on-one, you can't fail to really like him. He makes you feel good.
Yeah, and
And people want that now, because Theresa May didn't have any of those kind of skills. She didn't have that warmth. It doesn't mean she was not a very nice person, because she is a good person and a nice person, but she didn't have that ability to make you feel good. I remember a time when I used to go around London with him on the mayoral campaign, and, you know, people would be crawling over the tube lines to come and touch him, to have selfies with him, to have signatures on various parts of their bodies. But I remember saying to him once, you know, why do you go up to people and say, tell me more about this, I don't know much about this, when I've briefed you heavily on this? It's my job to brief for you. You're making me look stupid. And he came back and said, because they want to feel they have a role, Katie. Yes. They want to feel like I'm listening to them. Mm. So I don't care that you've already...
And that's actually
me.
A good instinct.
That was great politics.
That's so right, Katie. I remember, you know, briefing him. We'd go to sports things in advance about the important things he had to say. And he would never do it in the way that you had said was the way to do it, because he would already have talked to people, gone to the people that he wanted to find out more about. And, you know, absolutely right about it. Even in his second term, if you went on the tube with him, or, you know, you were literally besieged. It was amazing.
Well, I must say, I felt very sorry for Jeremy Hunt when he was doing his series of hustling, particularly towards the end. We did one in the News UK building, and it was a debate which went out live with The Sun and Talk Radio. And, you know, everyone was just flocking to Boris, and Jeremy Hunt was kind of left standing on his own, kind of kicking around.
I've never seen any politician attract that kind. It's like rock star.
Yeah, it is.
And, of course, he rode his bicycle everywhere. He really did. He's going to miss that, because, and he had no security, and he was the best known politician practically at the time, and yet he had no security. I think he found that quite difficult when he went into the Foreign Office.
I remember him coming up to me once, and I said to him, you know, people call you all kinds of things on your bike. That would really hurt me, you know, cycling through London and people saying not very nice things, shouting them out, you know, using certain words, which I won't repeat on family radio.
Thank you.
And he said to me, oh no, Katie, he said, someone once criticised my grammar. I used the word less instead of fewer. These are the things that wound.
Yes, quite. Now, Kate, let's talk about the actual process of prime ministerial work that he has to do, because the biggest question, of course, on everybody's lips is, can he actually make this happen? Can he make Brexit happen on October the 31st, do or die, as he said
he
would?
I think if anyone can, he will. He is a believer. You know, he believes in getting out. He's said all these things over and over again. I think he knows that if he doesn't get us out on October the 31st, by one means or another, he will not stay very long.
And is it within his gift, though? I mean, aren't there so many forces against it happening?
Yeah, I mean, there is, because there's a parliamentary majority to remain and to mess things up, and we've seen that for 3 years. But what I think he's got now is the opportunity to really show the European Union, the commissioners, that he is actually speaking on behalf of the majority of this country who voted to leave, that he's not prepared to sort of give in on all sorts of things. And I think he should go over there and be quite tough and quite firm and say, this is what we want, but we're already prepared. We know you're prepared, the European Union have been preparing for no deal for some time. And, you know, it may be that in the end that's what's going to have to happen. But I think people will accept that. Even people who voted Remain, not the zealots, not the people you see screaming around here, but people who voted Remain just know now that we have to get out. And the sooner we get out, the more certainty there is for business, the more we can get back to getting the relationships going. And remember, there's a lot of little side deals already agreed. The planes will still be flying on the net. You know, all of these things have been going on. What we've never heard about, and now we will, because I presume he'll appoint somebody who's another very good leaver as Brexit Secretary, we'll hear about these things. There'll be the optimism. You know, it'll be somebody fighting back against the media bias, because there has been media bias.
Yeah, there has been. And it'll be the end of Ollie Robbins as well.
And the Prime Minister didn't really say much, because she didn't really genuinely believe in it. That's the problem.
I mean, she knew she
had to deliver it, and I'm not saying she didn't, but she didn't see the opportunities, and I think that's what he will give.
She didn't approach Brexit with gusto, I think it's fair to say, isn't it, Katie? Will you shed a tear for Theresa May as she leaves office today?
I will feel sad for her, because I think that she's a dignified public servant who has done the best of her ability. There was no scandal. There was no kind of, you know, she is the kind of the girl,
squeaky
the grown-up
girl
guider that's actually done her best, done her absolute best for the nation. And I think that she is, although she won't go down in history as one of the greats, we owe her our thanks for trying at a time when the nation was utterly divided. And I think that, you know, we need to park that aside. And she will show, I mean, we talk about Remainers stopping Boris Johnson doing what he wants to do. I actually think some of the hardcore leavers, if I may call them that, Kate, might stop him doing what he might want to do. Because Boris Johnson may decide, once he stared down the barrel of that parliamentary arithmetic and thought to himself, I know what I can do. I can change Theresa May's deal just slightly and get it over the line, and then we can get this Brexit sorted. Now, they won't let him do that.
Well, I think if he gets the backstop finished out, then, and, you know, we've seen now there are the technical solutions, we've seen the support that there is for that, then, you know, there is a chance that it could come back and people would put it through. But
that's,
you know,
the best
some,
way. That's surely the best way to get this show on the road, get it over the line by the 31st, and get on with governing the country.
I find the $39 billion just ridiculous, and I would like to have some of that to be able to help those businesses and those parts of farming that may well be affected initially in the short term. Because, you know, this is a long-term project. We've been in that European Union common market for over 40 years, whatever exactly now I have forgotten. It's so long.
I think we're
entitled to give it 40 years to pull anyone can
well,
say
this
we've
is
done
the thing.
Wrong thing.
I always say to people, you know, this idea that you can negotiate an agreement and then that's all you do, and the agreement doesn't then need to be tweaked or changed or revisited. You know, you can't tell me that after 40 odd years you can just have a piece of paper which tells you that everything's going to be fine and this is how it's going to work, because that's not how the world is.
And also, the trouble is, people listening to this will think that once the 31st is over, we can go back to normal.
Yeah.
This is just the withdrawal agreement. We need to start talking about what we're going to do around fishing communities, what we're going to do around some of our manufacturing units that have been sponsored or supported by the European Union over the years. You know, Philip Hammond has been saving that money, much to many people's unhappiness, during a period of austerity. He does now have a bank of cash to hand over to the next Prime Minister. What are they going to spend it on? How can we help people really make the best that they can be?
Well, I think that's where the new Prime Minister has got to recognise that where the Brexit Party is doing well is in those areas that have genuinely been left behind.
Yeah.
Labour areas, Labour MPs, but voted Leave. And he is going to have to. I'm interested that he is going to make a speech up in the North very soon.
Yeah.
And I think it's not just about leaving the EU. It's about all those other issues that kind of underpin what's wrong with the country
exactly.
at the moment.
And one final question to you, Kate.
You haven't asked me about the Labour Party.
Well,
at all.
Here it comes. when and if there is a general election, whether it's before or after we've left the European Union, is Jeremy Corbyn going to lead the Labour Party into it?
I think he's certainly going to lead them into it. I don't think there is the, how do you think the word, momentum. I don't think there's a momentum for the members to vote him out and the way our system works. And I think he's been let down very badly by some members of his own shadow cabinet. And he has not been allowed to stay true to his looking at the Brexit issue, how he really feels. He's stayed in as long as possible, trying to keep Labour as a sensible, supporting the referendum, Leave vote. And now he's been, actually John McDonnell's been one of the biggest almost traitors.
Yes, I think that would be a word that could be used in this particular case, yes.
But I hope there's not a general election for a
little
while.
Is there a job for you at number 10, Kate? Because Boris loves you, and Labour Party doesn't so much. Come on,
John Mann's got a job there now, hasn't he?
Yeah, Theresa, he's got his really... I'm still, you know, obviously a Labour MP, but I find more and more Labour is moving away from me rather than
Boris Johnson
moving away
offered
from
you a job. Would you accept it?
It depends what it is.
No, it's not a no.
I don't think he's going to.
No, it's not a no. Very diplomatic. Stop trying to get people into trouble. Katie Perrier, thank you very much indeed. Kate Hurry, thank you very much indeed.
An unrivaled and unbridled assessment of a parliament in peril and a country in chaos.
What's next?
Talk Radio, live from Westminster.
Welcome back to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. We are live on College Green in Westminster. It's an extremely hot day, but it's going to be even hotter over in Downing Street later on, and of course in the House of Commons. It's Theresa May's final Prime Minister's questions today. Ross Kempsall, our political editor, telling us that it's probably going to be more ceremonial than it was last week, which was quite feisty. Paul Scully here with me, of course, Tory MP for Sutton and Cheam. Paul, it was remarkable last week when Theresa May went for Jeremy Corbyn. About a lot of people said if she only done that a bit earlier, maybe she wouldn't she'd still be Prime Minister.
Jeremy Corbyn at the moment is an easy target, and he's the right target. And, you know, something I think Conservatives across the country got to remember, that the real big risk actually is if we don't deliver Brexit, if we don't get this done, the fact that we can have Jeremy Corbyn in number 10. People talk about economic threats. Well, crikey, these are people that the Labour Party are already planning for a run on the pound. They've already got a £1 trillion spending commitment. That's going to damage the country.
Yes, absolutely right. Let's go to the calls because we are the voice of the people here at Talk Radio. 0344 499 1000. Let's go first of all to Gerard, who's in Crewe. Hi, Gerard.
Morning, Mike. Morning, Paul.
Morning.
I feel well. I'm not naturally an optimistic person. I'm a bit on the misery side, but I am optimistic about this now over the next few weeks and months. Look, we had thunder and lightning here last night. It was horrendous, and I just think that was Liberal heads exploding and the wailing and gnashing that just created the atmosphere yesterday. But yesterday, it was a miserable day here, but it's no coincidence that as the announcement was made, the sun came, filled me with optimism.
Mm. And optimism, actually, and particularly for someone like yourself, Gerard, as you say, if you are more prone to be pessimistic, the feeling of optimism is very seductive. It feels great, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, because for 3 years we've had people saying, you can't do this, you can't do that. And they've not been. If you listen to Bob Stewart, you say, Colonel Bob, well, what a great guy. His was an attitude of, let's get this done. And he wasn't on a battlefield in Bosnia and Ireland saying, oh, we can't do this, we can't do that. He had to find ways of getting things done. And he filled me with optimism. I hope they find a job for Colonel Bob. And in all honesty, I hope they can find something on the side for Kate Howie, because that woman is wonderful.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, if Jeremy Hunt doesn't want to be Defence Secretary, they could do a lot worse than giving it to Colonel Bob Stewart, who at least knows his way around a tank and knows his way around a battlefield as well. Paul, I mean, it's fascinating, isn't it, that people are being dragged along is probably the wrong phrase, but really caught up in the optimism.
And it's really good to hear.
And it is something, I mean, I say this to people all the time, that we did a show, because I got sick of the sort of relentless, negativity that was coming, particularly from the Remain side of the argument, where people were just saying things like, oh, it's just too difficult to leave the European Union, let's just not bother, let's just knock it all on the head and stay where we are, because nobody can figure out a way. Well, I'm sorry, you guys in Parliament have got that job to figure out a way to do it.
Totally.
The people have voted to leave, so, we need to get on with it. And to have somebody like Boris Johnson finally actually picking up the baton and being willing to run with it is going to make such a difference, I think, when people see. And also, I think he's the sort of guy that will present things to Parliament in a much different way than Theresa May did. Things that people will get behind.
He will do, and I just hope that people further afield of share that optimism, because it's just so important that we do actually remember the opportunities that present themselves. And you're right, they've been sadly lacking in Parliament. I've been self-employed for best part of 20 years before I was elected, and I didn't get into politics just to manage things better than the other guy. And it's been very technocratic over the last few years, and disappointed me most out of a job which I absolutely adore is the paucity of ambition in our Parliament. People that actually have just said, exactly as you say, no, it's too difficult to do. Jeremy Corbyn's been talking about the fact that they actually need the EU to protect themselves from a Conservative government. No, you don't. You need elections. You need democracy. Yes. That's what that's all about. We talk about our economy. You talk about crashing out with no deal, where all of the government forecasts actually show that the no deal forecast they have is if they assume that the government doesn't do anything at all in mitigation, which clearly they would be doing. So, if we're preparing, if we're doing these sort of things, we can take the opportunities that Brexit gives us, but we need to plan for the turbulence that will follow.
Yes. But turbulence is turbulence. You can't get on a plane and say, what are we going to do if there's turbulence? Let's just not get on the plane. Yeah. There is turbulence. It's called life. It's called the world. It's called the way in which everything works.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio, live from Westminster.
Let's talk to Bob Seeley here about why that's absolutely true, because we've often said, Bob, you and I sitting here in the tent, that basically Theresa May treated Brexit as some kind of disaster that had to be managed rather than a sort of opportunity that had to be grasped and run with.
She was very negative and dutiful. She was very dutiful about it, but very negative about it, as if clearly she equated it to pulling of teeth. On Toby's point, I would actually call it, it's a political version of IBS, Irritable Boris Syndrome, but it's much the same.
It is very good, that, yes. The one thing I would say, since Boris has actually taken the leadership crown, already I've got lots of people on my Twitter feed saying, I've just joined the Conservative Party. Now, they're not saying they've just joined it because of Boris, but clearly they are enthused by Boris. Yep. They're enthused by his enthusiasm and his positivity.
Boris inspires two reactions. From people who are never going to vote for Conservative, they have a real IBS attitude towards him, and they find him very difficult to stomach. But in part because they fear him, because he's also the Heineken candidate, if I can say that on here. He will reach parts of the electorate that, frankly, most politicians don't come near. Mm. And because of that, there is fear mixed with loathing.
If he was a Marmite-flavoured Heineken, I suppose you would say.
He's a Marmite-flavoured Heineken.
We're getting into some seriously deep water here.
I'm very fond of Marmite. I'm reasonably fond of Heineken.
Okay, Quentin, let's join me here. Quentin, a very good morning to you. Welcome.
Good morning. How are we going to cope with that, Theresa May?
Well, I was going to ask you, because you're the expert here. You're the sketch writer, right? Now, presumably, you must think of Boris Johnson, and I don't know if you heard that new irritable Boris syndrome
I'm afraid I do. Feel free to use it at any time.
Surely you must be over the moon that you've now got Boris Johnson to write about rather than Theresa May, who didn't really do an awful lot.
Well, let's first of all say, a day when a Prime Minister departs, it's no time to be jumping up and down and saying, yippee, that person has gone. That would be slightly unfair.
Very un-British as well.
However, she was not the easiest person in the world to sketch.
No.
It has to be said. Because the thing about Mrs. May was that she wasn't wicked.
Mm.
And or she wasn't vain. And she didn't seem to bubble in any sort of disobliging juices. She was just rather sort of worthy.
Yeah.
And sketch writers can't do worthy.
Well, also, yeah, because then you start to look wicked if you're being too mean to her.
Well, perish the thought.
Yes.
But we need a bit of gubbins of the discreditable side of nature to make things fly.
Yeah.
And so she wasn't very easy. But Boris has plenty in that department, so we should be in business.
I think it's going to be a very entertaining few weeks
here,
and months.
Mike,
I'm not sure. Well, I did say to somebody yesterday, I don't think that if I was on holiday, I would sit in the sun for 3 hours without actually taking any shelter.
Sitting on the Boris Riviera.
Yeah, sitting
here
on the Boris Riviera. But listen,
I'm willing to
do my duty for the Brexit revolution. You know, I'm not ashamed to stray away from it. But the serious questions, I suppose, will begin, Bob, once all of the pomp and ceremony is out of the way, all the trips to Buckingham Palace.
Serious questions have already been started. We have a Brexit crisis and we have a Gulf crisis.
He's inherited
two crises and a bunch of other minor crises. So this is, you know, crisis central.
And people have said to me in the last 24 hours, it's all very well saying that, you know, he was very good when he was Mayor of London. It was a fantastic operation that he ran. He got re-elected against all the odds. But this is a very different kettle of fish. It's like moving up from, you know, the Conference League up to the Premier League suddenly.
Well, up to a point. Mayor of London is a very big job because you're dealing with a very difficult electorate, especially if you're Conservative, and a very demanding electorate. And that electorate loved him twice and re-elected him twice. So what we can say about Boris is he reaches people. Now, yes, this is a bigger job, but the principles are the same. You manage, you delegate, you sell, you campaign. And he's done those things pretty well.
Also, what you don't have to do as Mayor of London is you don't have to go into the House of Commons and do the parliamentary business. And Boris so far hasn't been brilliant at the dispatch box. He wasn't quite as bad as I thought he was going to be when he was Foreign Secretary. Yeah. He did manage to just about do it in the Commons. But there is that additional arena. Mrs. May was all right, actually. Mm. She was all right.
She actually was, and I said earlier on in the show today, last week's Prime Minister's questions was really good.
She was liberated by impending freedom.
By knowing, because I presume today it will be a bit more sort of prime ministerial, it will be quite nice.
No, today will be gloopily sentimental.
Yeah.
It'll be ghastly.
Yeah.
give her that at the end.
Are you hoping for a sort of Alan Duncan intervention at any point, which will at least liven up the
scenes? There might well be. I would not rule that out. And there will be at least one or two people who get the tone disastrously wrong.
Well, this is what you were saying about Boris there, because one of the things I noticed a lot of watching the various debates and the hustings that Boris Johnson did with Jeremy Hunt, he's got an incredible knack for kind of picking up on the smallest encouragement. You know, as soon as somebody laughs very slightly at something he said, he immediately piles in with another joke of a similar nature. And I wonder that that's how he's going to conduct himself in the dispatch box. When he hears some cheers and some hope.
The thing is about Boris, he does understand different audiences, and he has experience of dealing with different audiences at different times,
right.
And he has been, despite our criticism, very successful. And part of his success is the media circus that surrounds him. So when he visited the Isle of Wight 3 weeks ago during the campaign, you know, when Jeremy turned up, as nice as he is, it was quite a low-key affair. When Boris walked around one of our wonderful shipbuilding plants in East Cowes, he was being mobbed. The factory workers were out.
Yeah,
everyone wanted to see him. And they people get excited about Boris visiting because he's charismatic, he is fun, he is easy with people. And when he does our regional tours and when he gets out and about for a general election, whenever that's going to be, it is going to be like a circus on a par with Mrs. Thatcher.
Very few politicians have done this. The only ones I think of on that level are Farage.
Yeah.
And also Alex Salmond had the same thing in Scotland. Yeah. If you went out with Alex Salmond on the stump, they would draw extraordinary crowds.
Yeah.
And not people necessarily who were going to vote for him, but just people who were interested to see what was going on. And that galvanising of public interest is important, because if people aren't interested in politicians, if they aren't interested in the policies that are being discussed, then they will lose interest in public life. And that's, I'm afraid, what happened to Mrs. May.
And I think, it's that dreaded sort of grey-suited middle management style of government, which I think we've had enough of, really. We've had enough of it in lots of realms of society
We have voted... MPs voted for change, our party voted for change, and I think our party are representative in voting for change. You need a political class which is responsible to the people who elect them, not who spend 3 years mansplaining, as certain senior members of this wretched cabinet have done, over why the British people were wrong, including some people who are resigning before they would have been sacked.
Yes, quite. And what about the Trump aspect of all of this, I suppose, because Donald Trump didn't really help Boris yesterday by saying that he sees him. Well, what I mean is he upset
all the establishment people.
Well,
that's all right.
Well, no, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, you know, but what I'm saying is that if Boris was going to pretend that he wasn't all that close to Trump because he didn't want the same, you know, kind of negative attitudes on Trump being given to him, when he called him, you know, Britain's Trump, basically, and said Barrett will get it done, he's a good guy, you know, he's given him his endorsement, which would infuriate all these people here who are demonstrating against Boris Johnson. Yeah, is that going to go on forever?
Yeah, well, it's better to have a Prime Minister who gets on with the President of the United States, isn't it?
Yes, I think it is.
Rather than one who bores him rigid. I don't necessarily, though, think that Boris Johnson is the British Donald Trump.
I don't think he is either.
Because, first of all, I think Boris is more eloquent. Yep. I think he's a more benevolent figure. He doesn't have quite such an appalling hairdo.
And he's not... Well, he's coming close on that one, but he's also not quite anything
he's
near...
Not, he's not as orange.
I mean, the other problem about the Trump...
But basically, he's a nicer guy.
Yeah. Yeah, look, he's intellectually... He's not... Trump has a sort of feral intelligence. But, I mean, Trump is... Boris, I think, is a much more warm and... I think... Look, I found him a very warm and charismatic and engaging person in my dealings with him.
And everybody says that.
Most people who are going to come across him feel, actually, he's a good bloke and he's up for a laugh. Look, detail is not his thing, and clearly, in question time, the opposition are going to try to catch him out in detail, and they want him sitting there spluttering. He knows detail is not his thing. He's going to have to deal with that.
Well, I'm afraid.
But what we want is somebody who shows political leadership, and I think too many people in this country and this parliament are fed up with policy wonks who think the genius is in understanding the detail of policy rather than selling a bigger vision and a bigger purpose, and that's what the British people want.
Yeah, well, I think
he used to be a special advisor. You were a policy wonk. Oh, it's very good to hear
for
that.
For three or four years.
Yeah. But he doesn't look like Philip Hammond, though, does he? I mean, he's not spreadsheet Phil. I think you're doing a great disservice there.
Can I defend myself on that? I'm 53. I spent 4 years here. The last 10 years, I was an accidental soldier doing the Iraq and Afghan and ISIS campaign.
Bob Seeley, MP, a friend of the show.
Putting your brand switch you.
Friend of the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. Quentin Letts, you're staying around, please, if you can, if you don't mind the heat. Bob, thank you very much indeed. Coming up next, Julie Hartley Brewer is going to pay us a visit. And coming up, of course, at 4 o'clock, Phil Williams on Drive. He'll be here down in Westminster as well, charting all of the nominations and all of the confirmations in the Cabinet as it now becomes. Will Jeremy Hunt remain as Foreign Secretary, or will he leave and leave the Cabinet altogether? This is Talk Radio.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The fallout, the fury, the future. Let's get political.
Order!
Talk Radio, live from Westminster.
Welcome back to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. We're sitting here in the blazing sunshine. I mean, we could be at Henley, we could be at Wimbledon, we could be at some form of regatta, but instead, we are outside at the main event, the biggest game in town. The new Prime Minister will be appointed very, very shortly inside a couple of hours' time. And of course, here at Talk Radio, we're bringing you the final Prime Minister's questions from Parliament. Joining me now, I'm delighted to say, Talk Radio's very own breakfast superstar, Ms. Julia Hartley-Brewer.
When's she coming? Well, I was just missing you. You've not been in the studio.
Yes, I know. I know. Well, I've missed that air-conditioned studio as well.
It was lovely this morning. Lovely and chilly. I had to put my cardi on.
Oh, my goodness me.
Imagine that.
Well, when I return finally to the office tomorrow, I'm going to have a great tan, is all I can say. So, anyway, what are you making of it all? It's all very exciting, isn't it?
Do you know what is very exciting? I have to say, as a Brexiteer, I'm not 100% convinced by the Boris Johnson thing. Didn't drink the Boris Johnson Kool-Aid ever. I think he's quite good fun.
Yes.
Love him on Have I Got News For You. Not impressed with him as Foreign Secretary, I have to say. So, a little bit wary. However, some of the appointments we've heard about already, Dominic Cummings, who was basically the mastermind behind the Vote Leave campaign, being appointed to a very senior advisor role in at number 10 under Boris Johnson, is very encouraging for leavers like myself.
Yes, I think it is very encouraging. And do you mind whether he keeps Jeremy Hunt on as Foreign Secretary, who, by the way, I'm not sure has done a brilliant job as Foreign Secretary
I think he's done a good job. I like a lot of time for Jeremy Hunt. I do think, though, fundamentally, unless you are willing to sign up fully to do or die, as of course Boris Johnson said to our political editor Ross Kempsel only a few weeks ago, do or die October 31st, that is it, full stop. Unless you're willing to fully sign up to that, I just don't think you can be in the cabinet.
And can you see it actually happening on October the 31st? If you were a betting woman and I said to you, are we going to be out on November the 1st, what do you say?
I don't think I'm putting my house on it.
No.
But I've got to be honest, but no, I've never been more hopeful. If you think about what's happened since 2016, every single moment has effectively been another victory for Remain. And in terms of the general election in 17, in terms of voting down, when the changing of the date from the 29th of March, I think this is the first time there's actually been a fight back from Brexiteers. And let's face it, look, so far Brexit is supposedly going to be delivered by someone who was a Remain campaigner. We had Remain Chancellor and we had, you know, Ramonas in civil service trying to stop it from happening. This is the first time when we have got a Brexiteer in charge. We're probably going to have, you know, Brexiteers throughout cabinet. We own Brexit now. Brexiteers are in charge. They've got to deliver.
You would think so. And also, even though you may not have drunk the Boris Kool-Aid, there must be a slight part of you which smirks when you see the amount of vitriol which Boris's sort of new job is causing.
The Remainiac and Ramona, they're different people, meltdown on Twitter in the last 24 hours has been hilarious.
It really
has. Joyful to see. I have to say, there's still a question over Boris Johnson. You know, he could be absolutely brilliant. He could rise to the occasion. He could be absolutely terrible. It is very, very difficult to predict. But you know what? It's actually quite nice to have something a bit unpredictable after three turgid, boring, excruciatingly uncomfortable years with Theresa May. I don't think I can watch another Prime Minister.
Well, also, the Remainers are trying to rule out unpredictability. They're the ones that are telling us, you know, if there's going to be turbulence in the air, don't get on a plane.
We
if there's likely to be a car going past your front door, don't go outside.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you never know, things might go wrong.
We won't be able to get on planes. We'll be 2 weeks from the lack of food and medicine.
Yes, exactly right. Julia Hartley-Brewer, thank you. See you tomorrow morning, bright and early. Julia Hartley-Brewer, of course, back on Talk Radio tomorrow morning from 6:30. We've got Quentin Lett still here with us, looking slightly hotter than he was before Julia started
slowly cooking.
We're also joined by Lord Heseltine. Lord Heseltine, welcome to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. I watched you last night on Channel 4 with Jon Snow, and I have to say, I've never seen two more miserable people talking about what a terrible idea Boris Johnson was. Is he so bad?
Well, it depends what you believe in. I've never said he was bad. I'd rather like him. He took over for me in Henley. And he did a good job in winning London for the Conservatives. So I don't get into the personalities and all of that. The issue is Brexit. And it was very interesting how quickly history gets obliterated in the mind of the Brexiteers. I remember vividly Boris, Foreign Secretary, David Davis, Brexit Secretary, Liam Fox, Trade Secretary, 18 months in power, right at the forefront of our negotiating team. Result, nothing. Now we're told Boris is the first time we've had a Brexiteer in charge. It's complete rubbish.
Well,
we
of
had
course
three
they would
Brexiteers
say.
In charge for 18 months.
But the reason that they all left, was it not, was that they had felt that they weren't in charge. And in
no,
fact,
no,
Ollie
no,
Robbins,
they left.
That Ollie Robbins was doing the negotiating, yes, Theresa May was doing the negotiating.
No, 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 that's not how it happened. They were in charge, they were making no progress, and so the Prime Minister did what all Prime Ministers do, is to turn to the civil service and say, can you sort out the mess they've created? That's when Ollie Robbins became involved.
But, of course, as we keep being told by many people on the Remain side, you know, politics is not a 24-hour moment in time. Politics is a movable feast, as indeed we can see from some of the placards outside of Parliament today, where people are quoting from Tony Blair's Sedgefield Manifesto of 1983, in which he wanted to get out of the European Union. You know, so times do change, people change, and perhaps attitudes change.
Well, perhaps they do, but not mine.
No. Are you still suspended, by the way, from the Tory party?
Yeah.
Are you expecting to be let back in?
No, I'm not preoccupied. I'm just doing what I've done for the last 50 years, and which every Conservative Prime Minister that I've worked for told me was the right thing to do. I'm serving the national interest.
Quentin, do you see the sort of Tory establishment changing in any way as a result of Boris Johnson now being the leader of the party? Because, you know, Lord Heseltine, as I said, is currently suspended, wants to remain in the European Union, as do some other members, as does Dominic Grieve. What happens is, what's the future of the Tory party?
I think certainly Boris Johnson would be foolish if he set out to pick a fight with everybody in the Conservative Party who had some fondness for the European Union. So I don't think it would be wise of Boris suddenly to say we are only a club for Brexiteers. That would be a needlessly narrow option. But I think at the same time it would be reasonable for the Europhile Tories to give Mr. Johnson some time. And to see if his striking of harder attitudes towards Brussels elicits some sort of fruit. So, I mean, you rather hope that there'll be a bit of give on both sides. There hasn't been much give.
No.
From
is there any give from your side, Lord Heseltine, in terms of would you counsel...
All these words about unification and drawing together are going to be demonstrated in a matter of hours' time when serious members of the cabinet leave in order to avoid working for Boris Johnson. So let's not talk about uniting the country. You can't even unite the cabinet.
And are they not being disloyal to the party, though?
Yes, but then the word loyalty is very important. Indeed, it's crucial. I don't want to probe you, but I know where my loyalties are. It's to my country. And if my party goes against my conviction as to what the loyalty I owe to my country is, I stay with what I believe. This is not a communist society when the party tells you what to do. Parliament is made up of representatives of the people. They are the people that matter. And as a member of the House of Lords, I have a stake in that. To me, there are a significant number now of people in the House of Commons, brave men and women, who are not going to allow a no-deal Brexit.
And what do you say to the 17.4 million people in the majority who voted to leave the European Union?
Well, you know, of course, they did offer you £350 million a week for the health service.
No, but what about the people who voted to leave? What about them?
They are the ones. They are the ones. They bought the £350 million
Yeah, but they still voted to leave.
Yes, because they believed the bribe.
It doesn't matter what they believe. They voted.
Of course it does. No, but it is fundamental what they believed. It's what they were told.
Well, they all say that they want to leave the European Union.
Because they were told they'd get 350...
No.
Yes.
Incorrect.
Well, you can't... No, it's not incorrect. It may be a difference of opinion, but it's a fact. And today, what have we got? We have got the pound depreciated by 15%. We have investment frozen. We have inward investment declining. We are the slowest growing economy in Europe, where we were the fastest. All the evidence is there, staring
in
the
face. I lived in New York in the 80s when the pound had parity with the dollar. We came back from that.
Yes, quite right, but we didn't leave the European Union to do it.
No, but we were in it at the time. But anyway, listen, I'm afraid we're out of time. Thank you very much indeed. Lord Heseltine, still battering that drum. He doesn't want to leave the European Union. You may wish to say something about that.
An unrivaled and unbridled assessment of a parliament in peril and a country in chaos.
What's next?
Talk Radio, live from Westminster.
Well, you might say there's a parliament in peril and a country in chaos, but Boris Johnson is about to be made the next Prime Minister of this country, which might mean that there will be no more chaos and there may be no more peril. Some members of the Tory party believe that. Gerry Hayes joins me now, former Tory MP, of course, himself, a man now busying himself in the learned friends' courts.
Absolutely.
Of the land. Welcome to College Green. Welcome to one of the hottest days of the year. You're wearing a very nice light summer suit, I see.
Yeah.
What do you make of it all? I mean, it's like it is like the new showbiz now, isn't it?
Well, it is. I'm actually joining the Conservative Party because of Boris Johnson.
Is that right?
Yeah, because I want to resign in style.
Yes.
I'm going to tear up my card on the TV, or preferably on your show.
Well, indeed.
Because, I mean, the man is just... Well, let's be serious for a moment. He demeans everything that politics is about.
Really?
He demeans
I'm surprised
parliament.
You say that.
Really?
I'm really surprised you say
that. What do you think I was going to say?
Because I thought you were going to say, isn't it great to have a breath of fresh air, somebody positive for a change, not one of these managerial suits. I've always thought for you as a bit of a maverick.
Yeah, but I'm not insane.
He's the Mavericks' maverick, is Boris Johnson, surely.
Yeah, and then you've got Dominic Cummings, who David Cameron, you know, he said a nice thing about him. He really paid him a compliment. He said, you're a career psychopath. I mean, it doesn't get better than that, does it?
Yeah, but I mean, when you actually analyse politicians, and you've been one, right, so you know better than anybody, you know, if you had to go, I'll tell you what, all the politicians who are not psychopathic tendency types, all the politicians who are not narcissists, all the politicians who have never told a lie, and all the politicians who are not in it for themselves, all go and stand over there, and then we'll form a government over here with everybody else, you would never form a government, would you?
No, but, hang on, who's he going to betray first? Is it going to be the One Nation?
Well, he won't betray the voters, that's for sure.
Well, why would he want... 31st of October? Well, interview, perhaps me, if we're about, on the 1st of November. 1st of November. And will we still be in the EU? Of course we will be. And what will Boris say? Oh, he's so... He's a bus. I see Ross over there. I painted pictures of Junker on a bus.
Okay, so who would you rather be standing there today taking the reins away from Theresa May? Jeremy Hunt?
No, I would have liked Rory Stewart.
Oh, God.
No. He is your guy. I mean, I know it's terrible. He's an honest man in politics. He tells the truth.
Well, he appears to be an honest man in politics, which immediately makes me slightly concerned. Mark, I mean, surely the devil you know is better than the devil who's pretending to be not the devil.
No, I mean, I think there's nothing that Gerry has said that's wrong about Boris, but actually we need a shifty character, a serial philanderer, an absolute unapologetic liar, a man who has never been friends with the truth.
Unfortunately, because, Trump's already got a job.
Well, exactly. I mean, of course, it's working quite well in America, though, isn't it? And actually, what we need to do is we need Boris to manipulate and pull the wool over the eyes of the EU in the way he has done so successfully in his domestic life. And ultimately, you know, we've tried, as I said, the managerial approach. It hasn't worked.
It doesn't
work. Just think personality might be what's required, and a bit of political courage as well.
And let's get back to Ross Kempsall, a man who needs to reshape this conversation into one which is actually
intelligent
about politics rather than about your perception of politics. Because in the end, Boris Johnson will be Prime Minister. Boris Johnson is charged with making it happen. And unless something horrible goes wrong in the next sort of 12 to 24 months, that's what he's going to be doing, right?
Yes, and the key question today is what is the team that he puts around him? Now, I've just heard in the last few moments really interesting briefing coming out of Boris Johnson's team, which is that we expect Jeremy Hunt not to remain in place as Foreign Secretary. Now, this is unconfirmed, but I can't tell you how good the source is on this. So that would suggest to me that Boris Johnson is actually pursuing a bit more of a ruthless line. He was offered, this is briefed overnight, that Jeremy Hunt was offered the position of Defence Secretary. Now, we haven't heard anything from Mr Hunt on this, so we have to give him his chance to put his piece across. But if this is true, and Westminster is a cauldron of speculation and of rumour this morning, that would mean that Boris Johnson is going to take a quite ruthless role. I offered you this, you didn't accept it, so you're out. That might be what we see. And this overnight briefing into the newspapers about Jeremy Hunt being offered the role of Defence Secretary and refusing might be to prepare the ground for that. But we don't know. We're going to have to wait to see between 5 and 10 p.m.
Okay. But the trouble is, of course, Gerry, if Jeremy Hunt sees himself as taking the moral high ground, he's just going to end up looking petty and small, because when you are supposed to be part of a collective cabinet responsibility situation and you're offered a pretty good job, which is Secretary of State for Defence of this country, and you don't take it because you think it's a bit of a downgrade, well, what does that tell you about the people who are ruled by a ruthless self-interest?
This is all about jobs. I mean, the walk of shame from someone like Amber Rudd,
yeah,
who says, oh, yes, well, he's going to make a wonderful prize. She doesn't believe a word of it, but she wants a job.
Right. So how is she any different from Boris Johnson?
Not a lot.
This is exactly my point.
Not a lot now, but it's just so wrong. It demeans the whole of politics. Most people you speak to in the constituency, no matter what they vote, will say their MP is a decent person who's doing their best for them. This is having someone like him, and I'm afraid Amber Rudd, and Matt Hancock, who is really, really deprecating, horrible about, and rightly horrible about Boris Johnson. Now he's a great supporter. All these ghastly, horrible people, and you'll have them on the
show. But this
your
is what
show.
Politics is, isn't it?
No, it shouldn't be. It should be about decency and a bit of honour.
Yeah, but you are talking about a sort of a pure version of something which has not been pure for many decades,
oh,
to be honest.
Oh, for God's sake, I'm a very impure politician.
I'm not suggesting you are pure or not. What I'm saying is that you're harking after something that I'm not sure has ever existed.
No, under Major, he was a decent guy.
He wasn't that decent.
Well, yeah, I know what you're going to come at that, but I mean, in terms of politics, he was a decent guy.
He's now saying that Boris Johnson should not prorogue Parliament for something as important as the European Union vote. However, he was quite happy to prorogue Parliament as long as it didn't affect him when he was Prime Minister.
Totally different matter.
How is it different?
I'll tell you, because the prorogation was about... No, it's completely different. You're talking about shutting Parliament up at a time
of
national...
What he was doing.
No, he wasn't. He was just stopping.
I don't think that's going to happen. That was red meat to the electorate at that time, which was the Tory grassroots. In fact, Boris has promised a lot of things to the Tory grassroots that will probably never see the light of day. I think what we're looking at here is the need for some political talent. Because I think Theresa May, we've said, she put the hours in. She was a noble woman. Yes. But she was a terrible communicator. I mean, she couldn't deliver a message at all.
Couldn't work a room.
And I think Boris... I think he'll be the opposite of what we expect from a Prime Minister. I think he's going to be rather serious, rather grown up, rather collegiate. I think he's going to, my prediction is he'll build a balanced cabinet. He'll keep Remainers in there because I think the secret that dare not speak its name is that he wants a deal with the EU far more than he is pretending.
Well, it would make life a lot simpler for everybody if he could get a deal.
Yeah, but and he's not going to.
Well, you say that, but it may be he's got much more chance of getting a proper deal, for example, than the last one, than Theresa May and Ollie Robbins, who basically affects did not want to leave the European Union. They really did hope that if they filibustered around for long enough, that everybody would say, oh, it's too difficult to do. Yeah. It's too hard.
That's the Hartley Brewer line.
I think, personally, I mean
Hartley Brewer. Yeah, my colleague.
If we're going to make this a trial by Boris Johnson's personality only rather than his policies, then I would say that... I suspect that he's quite cowardly as an individual. I think he's quite thin-skinned, and I think that the idea of a no-deal Brexit and the opprobrium that would be poured over him in that situation when he's in a number 10 and people are losing their jobs and people are dying, potentially...
What are you talking about?
I don't think he likes the sound of that.
When people are dying, potentially. So, once again, this is one of those, what if people start dying? Brackets potentially.
Well,
what does
I
that
don't
even
know.
Mean?
I mean, I, there was,
no, of course
over,
you don't know.
Out,
that's
it,
my point.
Well, it came out in briefings.
Came
from,
out wrong.
It came out from the civil servants.
No,
over
you
the
don't
weekend.
Get away with that. The Independent
Republic.
The
civil servants.
You know, you don't get away with that with me.
Broccoli, like a hawk.
Fresh fruit and vegetables. About 11 on the list. I mean, honestly, we're gonna be living like third world country if that happens.
Well, I mean, in some parts of Britain, they're saying that we have been living like that for too long because, in fact, the gap between the rich and the poor, the metropolitan elite like you lot sitting here outside.
I live
tent.
In the country.
You may live in the country, but you're still part of the metropolitan elite. You know, the fact is that the rest of the country don't think like you. The rest of the country love Boris Johnson. They want Boris Johnson. They need Boris Johnson. And they will see Boris Johnson succeed if it's the last thing they do.
God.
You've got
to change your dealer, mate.
Yes, thank you very much indeed. If that was the case, obviously I would ask you to represent me, but it clearly isn't.
By the way, worth pointing out that Boris, I predict he'll be the opposite of what people think. He's a very ruthless man. Yes. And when he got into City Hall first time round, he immediately fired Ian Blair, head of the Met.
Yeah.
And look what happened to the crime figures in London. They absolutely went through the floor. And he's been decisive.
Well,
and very
people
ruthless.
Let's put a few facts in here to all of these nonsensical statements.
Yes.
Crime generally fell in the UK.
And it fell less in London.
And it fell less in London, actually, than it did in the rest of the UK. That is true.
Yep.
But you cannot argue with the fact that now, under Sadiq Khan, crime is rising in London way higher than it is in the rest of the country.
But different argument.
Well, it's a different
right.
argument, but doesn't necessarily mean that I've lost it, because, of course,
well,
I win all arguments.
Well, I'd feel a lot safer if Boris Johnson was still...
Even against
Barry. You're the presenter. Presenters can't lose an argument.
Well, I mean, some can. Trust me.
Yeah, all right.
But listen, Ross Kempsall is still with us. He'll be talking us through the Prime Ministerial final question time. Will Boris be there, I suppose, is the first question. Will he be sitting there watching over Theresa May like a hawk?
No, 100% that he isn't. So he's not going to PM Keys. His team just confirmed to me Boris Johnson won't be there. And the reason for that is because he doesn't want to distract from the occasion, they're saying. Doesn't want to overshadow the final occasion. We won't see Boris Johnson there. We will see the majority of her cabinet there. We will see many of her key allies gathered around her for the last time.
It's going to be a fascinating sort of 15 minutes of final fame, I suppose. And then how about the nicety of the constitutional question I asked somebody else earlier? Yeah. You may be able to answer this. During the period of time when Theresa May has resigned and before Boris Johnson takes the mantle...
Can be no more than half an hour.
It can be no more than half an hour. If something terrible happens during that period, who's in charge? Some people have said it's David Lidington.
Unless he's resigned. Yeah, he would be, actually. Yes, he would be.
So
however,
he can't resign.
There's another little twist. It's not going to happen, but it's a bit of fun to think about.
Yeah.
Theresa May will be asked by the Queen, right, thank you, I accept your resignation. And who do you recommend to me who has the confidence of the House of Commons? Now, if there's a deep breath and she says, well, I can't, then Prime Minister, I can't accept your resignation. It's not going to happen.
So
but
she recommends Boris Johnson, is that what happens?
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
This is the stuff that people don't get to hear on other radio stations. They're too busy moaning and groaning about the fact that Boris Johnson's going to be the next Prime Minister. We've got lots more to do. Gerry Hayes, thank you very much indeed. We will see you again soon. Mark Dolan as well.
Thank you, Mike.
Both of you.
Across the UK, online and on DAB, the Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
So if you enjoyed that, be sure to catch the whole show 10 to 1, Monday to Friday on Talk Radio, via DAB, online or via the Talk Radio app. If you have an opinion on the stories we cover, we'd love to hear from you. Call us 0344 499 1000 or tweet at Talk Radio during the show to have your say.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.